grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed priest forever and King of all creation, grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the readings.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though there is and though the mountains be hollowed into the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult.
The Lord of hosts with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her with great day.
The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away.
The Lord is our witness. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth.
It is he who makes the Lord.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, the first chapter. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Christ the King Sunday, and we're celebrating, singing hallelujahs, praising God on this Feast of Christ the King. And then we get this really depressing gospel. Jesus hanging on the cross, comforting some poor, repenting criminal, listening to the mockery of the crowd, the soldiers, the religious leaders. In fact, Jesus is very alone, not much like a king. Last Sunday's gospel, we heard Jesus encouraging the disciples to trust in him when they would be persecuted. He told them that they would be betrayed, they would be handed over to the authorities, they would probably be put to death if they would be his followers. And today we hear that those predictions have come true for Jesus himself, as he now has been betrayed by one of the inner circle friends. He has been handed over to the authorities and ridiculed and tortured, mocked, scourged. And now we hear Jesus is hanging on the cross, abandoned by everyone. And the mockery even continues to the site of execution with that inscription at the head of the cross, "This is the King of the Jews." Doesn't look like a king. They hung him on a cross between two other criminals, like a king with his royal court. More mockery. Mocking Jesus, who doesn't look like a king. Now, why didn't the church give us a more kingly gospel to read today? Why didn't the church give us the Gospel of Palm Sunday, for example, with Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem, riding into the town, people cutting branches down, waving branches, behold him who comes in the name of the Lord. This is our king. Why didn't he get that gospel? Or even the gospel of Jesus and Pilate having the conversation when Pilate says, so, you are a king. I mean, that would have been a good gospel to have. But the church gives us this image of the most unkingly Jesus that we see in the Gospels. Jesus hanging on the cross. In all of the Passion story, in all the narrative of the Passion, there's only one person who realizes what's really happening before the resurrection. There's only one person who looks at Jesus in all of that distress, disaster, Jesus hanging on the cross. There's only one person who looks at that cross and sees something other than disaster, who sees that there is something about this upside-down kingdom, that the disaster that we see is really victory. And that person is a thief, a criminal, hanging on the cross next to Jesus. He sees Jesus as the king, and he asks to be part of that kingdom. Joining Jesus in paradise has nothing to do with dying. Joining Jesus in paradise has nothing to do with resurrection. It has everything to do with seeing beyond appearances to the truth, looking past the appearance failure to see that God is victorious, that the cross is not disaster, but victory. It has everything to do with that thief's recognition and realization that his own condemnation, just as it is, doesn't matter when he stands before God. And in that moment, he becomes free. In that moment, he joined Jesus in paradise. In that moment, he came under God's rule, God's reign. In that moment, he became part of God's kingdom. Jesus didn't say to him, you'll dwell with me in paradise someday. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, wait 3 days when my Father raises me from the dead and we'll go to heaven together. He says, today you are with me in paradise. We're called to make that same paradise a reality in this present moment, just as Jesus did for the thief on the cross. You and I, the baptized Christians in the 21st century, are called to make a point of the reality of Jesus' kingship here and now, and not to point to some far-off reward, the pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, but the reality of Jesus' kingship right here, right now. We need to see beyond the lies of this world and see the truth in the meaning of the cross. Jesus' kingship is in an upside-down kingdom where victory to the unbeliever looks like disaster. There's a contemporary theologian, Robert Capon, wrote a book titled Hunting the Divine Fox. And in that book, he talks a lot about our present American culture and the image that we have in American culture, American society, or contemporary Western society, about the image that we have of Jesus and the lies about that. And he also talks in that book about the truth of Jesus and the victory of the cross. American culture gives an image of Jesus that is sweet and loving, that is comfortable and easy to grasp. The popular image of Jesus is not Christ the King who reigns from the cross. The ordinary American view of Jesus is something more like this. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. It's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond that of mortal men, and who, disguised as the mild-mannered Clark Kent, working as a reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. You know, the Church of Jesus gets all messed up in that. That sounds like Jesus, according to American culture. We get caught up in that image of Jesus. It's so limited. It's so wrong. Jesus isn't the Superman of the comic book. That image tells us that Jesus is meek and mild, but with secrets, hidden, souped up insides. He hangs around for about 30 years, and then he leads a less than successful evangelism campaign, and then he meets near doom on that kryptonite cross, and then in the last minute, he struggles into that phone booth of the empty tomb, puts on his Easter suit, and in a single bound, goes off to heaven. And it's Superman. And he doesn't even get to kiss Lois Lane. The American culture image of Jesus as Superman is very prevalent. And we laugh at that. But it's true. It's too true. The human race was and is and probably always will be less than willing to accept the truth of the human Messiah. Robert Capon goes on to write, "We don't want to be saved in our humanity. We want to be fished out of it. We crucify Jesus not because he is God, but because he blasphemed. He claimed to be God and then failed to come up to our standards of that claim. It's not that we weren't looking for the Messiah. It's just that he wasn't what we were looking for. Our kind of Messiah would come down from the cross. In fact, he would carry a folded-up phone book in his back pocket. He wouldn't do a stupid thing like rising from the dead, because he would do the smart thing and not die at all." American culture gives us an image of Jesus that is far from the truth, an image of Jesus that is not Christ the King reigning from the cross. And the feast of Christ the King gives us an opportunity to focus our attention on Jesus, who is the Messiah, on the victory of Jesus on the cross. Today we declare that Jesus is the Messiah who reigns in this upside-down kingdom. And today we are invited to join Jesus in that kingdom. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. We're called to be with Jesus today. We're called to be with Jesus today and drag the rest of the world with us. Jesus claims us by his life. He claims us by his death. He claims us for his eternal kingdom. He claims us today. First, Jesus claims us by the way he lived. God was his refuge and his strength. He turned to his Father in prayer and obedience, in trusting, loving God. We hear these words in the letter to the Colossians, assurance, in such beautiful language that God is our God too. That God of Jesus Christ is our refuge and strength through Jesus, who is our King. He rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus pulls us into that kingdom with him. Jesus claimed us by dying a death that could not be ignored, a death that God deemed as a perfect sacrifice on our behalf and guaranteed with the resurrection. Jesus claimed us for his kingdom. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. On the one hand, Jesus is the king because God made him so. He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. But on the other hand, Jesus is king because he fought that battle over death and sin and was victorious in that battle. Through him, God was pleased to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross. In the history of kingdoms, bloodline and conquest are very important. They're essential to being a king. But so is having a territory, a ruling area, a territory was also an important part of being a king. When Jeremiah talks about the coming of the king, he identifies that territory. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. The psalmist expands that territory beyond Judah and Israel and talks about that the king will make wars cease to the end of the world, to the ends of the earth. The kingdom is not just Judah and Israel, but the kingdom of God is the whole earth. And Paul takes it even a step further than that. In our hearing of this reading, he talks about the kingdom of heaven and earth, not limited by space or time. It's beyond space, beyond time. Paul talks about the inheritance of the saints in light. Is this the paradise, the kingdom that Jesus promised to that criminal on the cross? Remember, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's much more than of this world. The kingdom is much more than a place where there's pearly gates and golden streets. This is the power of God. The kingdom is the power of God that overshadows us, that engulfs us, that pulls us in. The kingdom of God that we inherit today, now, we are part of that kingdom of God. So if Christ is the king, where is his territory? Where can Christ be the king? It's on the cross. Right next to our cross, right next to us, where Jesus can reign in our hearts. It's on the cross right next to us that Jesus can reign as king in the world. He is the true Messiah who suffers with us, the true Messiah who knows our cares and our concerns, who loves us so much that he stretched out his arms on the cross and pulled us in to that kingdom of his. Jesus is on the cross next to us. Jesus is on the cross right with us. We have a Messiah, not who can leap buildings in a single bound, not who is so different and apart from us. We have a Messiah who is our Lord and King on a cross, who knows our crosses. He knows the cross that we're on. He knows our cares and our concerns, our sufferings and our sorrows. And that Jesus, who is Messiah on the cross, right next to ours, is our King. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Thanks be to God for a Messiah who reigns from the cross. Amen.